Hey, isn't it good to know that no matter, hey, what you're going through, God is good, and he reigns, and he's alive. I don't know. Is anybody excited about that? Good news this morning. Amen. So I want to encourage you, take out your Bibles, turn to Numbers in the Old Testament. We were in Exodus last week. We'll skip over a couple books. You'll be in Numbers chapters 13 and 14. That's where we're going to be at today. And how to get through what you're going through. I won't even mention that if you're a Tennessee Vols fan, we all know what we're trying to get through, and we're going through it. And hey, we needed to sing these songs and celebrate today, right? I'm an Atlanta Braves fan, so I had a great day yesterday because they wrapped up the division yesterday, so I was super pumped about that. But we are, it's enough sports. All right, we're ready to celebrate Jesus this morning and jump into his word. So we started last week talking about how to get through what you're going through. And I said last week, bad news is there is no five-step plan to get through what you're going through. But the good news is there is Jesus, and he is more than capable of helping us get through whatever it is that we're going through. But sometimes we struggle in that because we've come to believe, maybe because we just haven't learned for ourselves, or maybe because people have told us incorrectly. We sometimes will adopt this misguided view of God and how he works in our lives. So when we're going through something and God doesn't show up the way that we think God should show up, we're wondering what's going on. Where's God? Did I mess up? Is he messing up? What's going on? So we started talking about that last week, and we said that through this series, our goal is to get to know God better. Because if we get to know God better and how he's interacted with his people throughout Scripture, we learn about how we should respond. We learn a little bit more about how God tends to respond and interact with his people. So that's what we started with last week. And there's nothing like going through something that to remind you about what you really care about, right? That's something that happens when you're going through a season. Maybe whether it's a good season or a tough season, it begins to pull out your values. It begins to help you see what it is that you really care about. And you stop and think about, you know, what are some of the things that you value in your life, or maybe in your marriage, in your relationships? What are those things that you value? And adversity will pull those out sometimes. But when you know what you value, like, you'll go for it. You'll chase after the opportunity to experience something that you value. One thing that we value as a family is just a change of pace. Something, whether that's a vacation we can plan out for, or maybe it's just, you know, changing up a routine for a weekend or something. Like, we really value just changing up that routine. And sometimes you're going through what you're going through, and for us, one of the best things we can do is say, okay, we're gonna just change pace, change place, and that's going to give us a change of perspective. God just kind of works through that. And so sometimes we'll jump at the opportunity to get a free change of pace. We're all about free, right? And so we went through this one thing one time. We got invited to go set through this timeshare thing out in West Knoxville. And at the end of it, they dangled this little carrot that was like, you could go to Wilderness in the Smokies for 3 days and 2 nights, and it was free. Like, all you had to do was set through the timeshare thing. So I was like, psh, sounds great. I have no problem telling people no. So we signed up. We sent the boys off to stay with somebody, and we went, showed up, sat through the presentation. They give us this spiel about how great this is going to be, and you're going to save all this money. And I'm just thinking, like, God, just hurry up. You know, I know I'm going to tell you no. You know, I just get through the spiel, and they do their thing. Like, and, you know, they always stretch it out longer than they say it's going to. And then they get right in front of you to sit down. Now, isn't this the greatest thing you've ever heard? And I'm just like, no, not really. And they're like, don't you just love to vacation? I'm like, yeah, I do. And they're like, don't you just see how much money you can save? I said, no, not really. And they're like, well, why are you here? I was like, honestly? Like, I came so I could go to Wilderness. Like, we're looking for a free vacation. Like, and you said, and they were like, okay. They're like, that's why most people come, just so they can get the free thing. But this is a really good deal. I'm like, I know, three days, two nights in Wilderness, that's a great deal for free. Like, I'll give up a couple hours for that. And so, like, you go back and forth. And eventually, though, at the end, you push through what you got to push through. You stick to your guns, right? Like, if you don't want to buy the stuff. And you tell them no. And sure enough, we walked out of there 3 days, two nights to go to Wilderness. And I was like, hey, it was worth it, right? I pushed through what I pushed through. I got my free change of pace coming up now whenever we want to use it. And it worked out great, right? So all that to say, when you're going through what you're going through, things emerge up within us. And we have to decide, am I really convinced that what I'm going through is worth it? Do I really value what God's doing in the midst of this? Do I really value this thing that I'm fighting for, that I'm trying to hold on as I'm going through this? Do I really value even God's opinion of me as I'm going through this? And it brings up a lot of these questions as we go through the things that it is that we're going through. And so this morning, I don't know what it is that you're going through, whether it's a difficult relationship or maybe you're just waiting on God to give you that answer about what's next, or I don't know what it is that you may be navigating through, or maybe it's not even you, maybe it's just somebody in your life that you know is going through something and you're trying to figure out your prayer is, God, how can I help them to get through what they're going through? And so I don't know where this will hit you at this morning, but the thing that I want to start out by reminding us is this, is that God does value you. And in the middle of going through whatever it is that you're going through, oftentimes we forget that God sees us in the middle of that. We can think, well, God just sees the storm around me, or God just sees the circumstances, or God just sees what's happening. But I want to remind you this morning that God sees you in the middle of it. And what he's most concerned about is you and your relationship with him. Because that's what he values. And you say, well, how do you know that's what he values? I would say, well, he's already demonstrated how much he values you when he sent Jesus to die on the cross. And so this morning, I don't know what it is that you may be going through or somebody around you is going through, but I want you to know that God values you in the middle of that. And the good news this morning is this about God. This is kind of our God truth big idea for this morning is this, is that God is greater. We've already sang that this morning. But God is greater than whatever you're facing. God is greater than whatever you're facing. And the cool thing is, Scripture affirms this, and you've probably experienced this to some degree. It's one thing to say this, right? I mean, we have a song we sang this morning that declares this. We just sang that last song that's just all about the power and the wonder and the strength and the might of God. And like, we say these things, but do you really believe this morning that God is greater than whatever you're facing? In the middle of going through whatever you're going through, are you convinced to the point that you will follow him through your journey, knowing that God is greater than whatever it is that you're facing? You may look at your life and say, wow, there are things in my life that I know this part of my life is not pleasing to God. Is he really greater than my sin? Is he really greater than that struggle that's going on in my life? And I would just share with you Paul's words in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 55 through 57, where he says, oh death, where is your sting? Oh death, where is your victory? And he continues on and he just declares, he says, the sting of death is sin and the power of sin is the law. But there's good news in that. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. So there is nothing that can attach itself to us, no sin, no struggle, nothing that'll separate us from God, that God is not already greater than. We just have to choose to receive that and believe that into our lives. You may say, well, what about the future? What about what's next for me? As I'm going through this, I'm just trying to figure out what's next for me. Is God really greater than even my insecurities and my fears and my concerns? Is God even greater than whatever may come next? And I would just take you to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 10. And it says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It's the gift of God. And verse 9 says, it's not the result of works so that you and I may boast about it. But verse 10 says that, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them, not worry about them, not stay stuck in what we're going through, but to walk in them. God is greater than whatever you are facing or you will face. And so this morning, as we jump into our text and Numbers this morning, underneath this big idea that God is greater than whatever you're facing, we're going to continue to look at the journey of the Israelites, God's people in the Old Testament. Last week we saw how he called them out of slavery and bondage in Egypt, and he brought them and told them to camp right beside the sea. It's almost like God set them up so he could show his power, put them right beside the sea, and they had the sea on one side and the opposition coming behind them. And we said that, you know, even when you're obeying and following what God wants you to do, you have to stay focused on the one who's always faithful, because sometimes God will put an obstacle right in front of you, an opposition behind you, and the only place to turn is to set your focus on him. We talked about that last week. And so now they've pushed through this. They've experienced the hand of God. They've experienced His miracles. And now we fast forward, and they've been wandering through this wilderness in this journey, and God brings them to the place that He's intended for them to ultimately get to. And that's where we're going to pick up here in Numbers, beginning in chapter 13. It says this: "Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'Send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the people of Israel. From each tribe of their fathers you shall send a man, every one a chief among them.' So Moses sent them to the wilderness of Paran, according to the command of the Lord, all the men who were heads of the people of Israel." And I want to go back up, and I want you to really look at verse 2. It says, God said, "Send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the people of Israel." God says, "I am giving." And that's kind of where I want us to hang out just for a moment here, because God is greater than whatever we're facing. And so here's the first thing that we have to come. If we're going to believe that, there's some things, other things we got to think about this morning as we look at their journey and learn from it. And here's the first one, is that God does what God says. So whatever God speaks about, He's going to act on what He says. God will act on what He says. And we know this is His track record. We talked about this last week. You can study through Scripture and see that God says it, He acts on it. And so we can take His word for that, but we struggle with it sometimes. And I don't know about you, but sometimes this comes from just struggling to act on my own words sometimes. I mean, those of us that have kids or have grandkids in the room, like, do you ever feel like you're a broken record talking to your kids? It's just like over and over and over, you know, and sometimes it gets tight. Like, I understand the importance of, you know, needing consistency for your kids, and like, if you're going to discipline and give consequences and reinforcement and teach them all these things, like, you as a parent have to be consistent, right? Like, you have to act on what you say, but that gets tiring sometimes. It's like, you know, we use some of these phrases, or at least I do sometimes. I'll be like, if I have to tell you one more time, right? We've all been there, right? And then because we're tired and sometimes we don't want to discipline, it's like, okay, if I have to tell you one more time, because it's easier to say that, right, than to take action on what we want to do. But we know that's ultimately not best for us, not best for our kids, but we struggle through that. Or maybe on a, you know, on a good side, not so much discipline, but it's like, okay, you can do this one more time. And then what do they always want? Well, just one more. It's like, you can have one cookie. And then it's like, oh, just one more, you know, and then you get caught up in that dilemma. And then teaching kids to listen the first time, right, to follow through. And I had heard, you know, parents do this whole 1, 2, 3 thing, right? Maybe some of you did that with your kids. Like, I'm going to count to 3, and if you're not in here by 3, and like, so we started out doing that with our oldest, and it was like, I'm going to count to 3, and if you're not in here by 3, then you're going to get it. I don't know what it is, but it's not good. And so I'm going to count to 3, 1, 2, 3. And you know what they figured out pretty quick? I'm not in trouble until Dad gets to 3. So here's what I changed. I said, if I get to 2, it's too late. That's how we fixed it. So I said, I'm going to count to 3. And if I get to 2, it's too late. So they've learned, like, you go on 1. Like, first time Dad says go, I better go, or I'm going to get it. And they don't always know what it is. And it's worked. But we know that from adults, even as adults, right? I mean, the whole Southern hospitality that we live in this culture today, you know, it's kind of this mile wide and an inch deep kind of thing. It's like, you know, we struggle sometimes to just tell people no. It's like they ask us if we want to do something. What do we usually say? Well, maybe. Let me check my schedule. That's code for ain't happening. Not showing up. But it's like we use this buffer. That's all that to say, we struggle sometimes to act on what we say. Here's the danger in that, because we know we struggle on that sometimes. It can very easily, without us even realizing it, we can presume that upon God. Because our human interaction teaches us that I don't always follow through on what I say. This person doesn't always follow through on what they say. Well, is God really going to follow through on what He says? And look, God is greater than whatever you're going to face. And I want to remind you this morning that yes, He does follow through on what He says. And so as He said this to His people, He said, look, I'm giving you this land. Basically saying, it's not up for debate. I'm giving you this land. You're just going to have to trust that I'm greater than whatever it is that you're going to face. And here's the thing. I think sometimes in the midst of this, we don't really have a clear understanding of what it is that God has already said. Because because I think sometimes we will, wondering what God would say about a certain situation, we'll wonder about it, we'll pray about it, we'll talk to other people about it, rather than picking up God's word and looking to see what he's already said about it. What happens, actually, I think sometimes if we're honest, we can kind of prop ourselves up on the spiritual crutch called prayer that leads us to actually, because that feels spiritual, it feels like we're seeking God's direction, we'll hold on to that rather than taking the step of obedience when God's already spoken on something. I don't want to demean prayer at all, because I think prayer, if done properly, is good for all of us. As we talked about several weeks ago, prayer should be submission to God. It should be aligning ourselves to God's will. Prayer is a powerful thing for that we come before God and we wrestle through things with him. But there comes a point in time that if God has already spoken about something, we don't need to go to him and ask him, well, should I do this? Because when God's already spoken, there's so many situations, so many things that you and I are going through and will go through that God has already spoken about in Scripture. And when he's spoken about it, he's spoken about it. And he's going to act on what he said, and he intends for us to act on what he's already said. It's there. It's in front of us. So it's not a matter of, do I need to pray through this? God, what do you want me to do? Sometimes it's already there. So maybe what you're going through is a rough patch in your marriage, and you're wondering, do I continue to hold on? I'm just kind of tired. I'm kind of bored. I'm kind of sick of this, sick of that. Do I hold on? Like, God, do you want me to stay in this? God would say, what I put together, I don't want anyone to separate. You get to this place where you know that someone has wronged you, and you're wrestling with, God, do you really want me to forgive them? He's already said, forgive as you've been forgiven. You don't really have to pray about whether or not you should forgive someone. Now, granted, I know these are like blanket general statements, and it's messy, and we're fleshly and human and selfish, and all of this shows up underneath it. So I know it's not that cut and dry. But at the end of the day, there's so many things God's already spoken about. You see someone who's struggling, and they're making mistake after mistake, and you love them, and there's a relationship there, and you go before God, and you're like, should I talk to them about the fact that they keep falling on their face over and over, God, and it's breaking my heart. And God would say, yes. Like, go to that person. Carry the burden with them. Speak truth and grace to them. Like, God's already said, yes, do that. You're worried about how this is going to play out or how that's going to play out, and you're wondering, like, God, do you even know what's going on? And God has said, yeah, I've already told you, do not worry. I've got this. I know what you mean. I know what you need. So many things that we bring before God, and he's already spoken about it. And so if we could just get to know him more through his word, we could take confidence that when God says, I'm giving you this land, as he does to the people here, well, I don't know what land would be for you, but when God says, look, I've got you through this, I'm going to get you through this, here's where I'm taking you, trust that he's greater than whatever it is that's going to come up in the middle of that. Because he's right there with you. He's going to walk right through that with you. And when we see this, we step back and we see, well, sometimes we lack confidence in ourselves. We lack confidence in our ability to do things. And I would say that's not necessarily a bad thing. As long as that lack of confidence in ourselves drives us to have a greater confidence and dependence in God. Because when he gets us to that place where we're trusting in him more than trusting in ourselves, he's putting us in a position for us to be able to move forward, to get through whatever it is that we're going through. And so God says to them, he says, I am giving this to you. So it kind of denotes a process. He's saying, I'm giving this to you. I haven't given it to you yet, but I'm in the process of giving it to you. Now, we always want the end result, right, rather than the process. The thing I'm still learning in my own life is if I don't end up enjoying the journey, I'll end up living a pretty miserable life. Because we always want the end result. We always want the destination. But what God wants to do is cultivate a heart for him and an identity rooted in him. And that happens in the journey, in the process, as he's giving us the land, as you're going through whatever it is that you're going through. That's where God's going to work. It's not necessarily in the end result. It's as you're going through what you're going through. That's where God wants to show up. And God's not out of control. He's not disorganized. He's not chaotic. Paul even says this, and I think it's 1 Corinthians, he says that for God is not a God of confusion, but of peace. Paul says this, reminding the church in Corinth, like, look, God's got a plan. He's got a process that's playing out. And you're feeling that right now as you're going through what you're going through. But you've got to trust that God is greater than whatever you're facing. So what does that process then begin to look at? Let's look on down in Numbers chapter 13. We continue on with the story. We're going to pick up in verse 17. It says, but Moses sent them out to spy the land of Canaan and said to them, go up into the Negev and go into the hill country and see what the land is and whether the people who dwell in it are strong or weak, whether they are few or many, and whether the land they dwell in is good or bad, and whether the cities they dwell in are camps or strongholds, and whether the land is rich or poor, whether there are trees in it or not. Be of good courage and bring some of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the season of the first ripe grapes. So they went up and spied out the land from the wilderness of Zin to Rehob, near Lebohamath. God is greater than whatever you're facing. And here's the next thing that we see. In the midst of coming to understand that, not only do we know that God will act on what he says, but here's the other thing, is that we have to do our research, but keep our faith. You have to do your research, but keep your faith. And because I think sometimes we set ourselves up and we think that faith is this blind faith. That it's just like, I'm walking into the dark, God, I'm going to jump off the cliff and I hope you catch me. Like, that's not it. Like, that's not how God works. He doesn't always show us everything, but sometimes he will. Sometimes he will show us more than maybe we think we need to see or whatever. And so that's kind of what he's calling them into. He wants to give them a glimpse as to what it is that they're walking into. So he says, send these people out. I want you to actually see this land that I'm giving you. I want you to go check it out. I want you to survey it. And sometimes we can get a glimpse of what's coming and it can make us nervous, right? If you flash back to those days, those of you that have kids, those of you that are maybe going to have kids at some point, and you ask somebody, like, what's it like having a baby? They're like, oh, it's great. It'll change your life and you'll never sleep again, you know? And it's like some of those things. And it's like, whoa, do we really tell people that? Like, it's like you freak them out before they ever have a kid, you know? And I was talking to somebody this week, I had like three conversations this week. This is one of these moments for me. I had three conversations this week with people about raising teenagers. I don't have teenagers yet, but they were telling me about everything they're going through as they raise teenagers. And it was one of those, it was like, do I really? Social media, like, I'm not ready to parent a teenager with social media yet. Like, it was overwhelming. And I went back to this prayer that I've been praying since I first had a kid. And it was like, Jesus, will you please come back before I have a teenager? Like, that would be great. Like, whatever I have to do, however good I have to be, God, if you'll just send Jesus back before I have a teenager, that would be great. Other people, though, have told me they prayed that prayer and God's not answered it. So I'm not thinking he'll probably answer it for me, but I'm praying that he may. Why is that? Like, I look ahead and it makes me a little nervous. But you know what? I'm not going to send my kids off when they become teenagers. I'm going to keep moving forward. I'm going to love them through that season. And it's going to have its good parts and its bad parts as every season does. But here's the thing. When God begins to give you a glimpse of where he's taking you, don't let that freak you out. You have to already be convinced that he's greater than whatever you're going to face. And this is kind of the dilemma that the people run into here. Because he says, go spy out the land. And as they do that, they kind of look. I see three different things that they kind of look at as they navigate through this. The first one is they look at the land. They look at the land. They look at the cities. They look to see if they're walled or if they're unwalled, if they're fortified. They survey the land. They check that out. And they kind of see what the landscape looks like. So they're assessing their current situation. And in the midst of doing that, they're beginning to realize what may change. What's going to have to change? If they're here and they want to go over here where God's taking them, then some things are going to have to change. And none of us like change. So they go up and they see, and God's showing them, like, look, here's their current situation, your current situation. Some things are about to change. When change shows up and God is saying, I'm about to take you here, this is how you're going to get through what you're going through, but it's going to require a little bit of change. I think it's not so much the physical change that we end up struggling with. I think it's what happens to us in the midst of the change. You see, we can take a step, we can do a physical action and obey whatever it is that God's calling. But it's what begins to happen inside of us as we take that step. As we do our research, as we check it out, we can say, okay, I can make this work. If I do this and this and this, I can do this. I can get through this and I can do this. But what we can't quite anticipate is what God's going to teach us about ourselves in the midst of making the change. And that's where change gets hard. And if you've ever went through change and you go back and think about it, it's usually not the physical change that is so hard. It's what he does on the inside that's like, oh, I didn't know this about myself. Wow, I don't have it all together. Here's another reminder of that. And that intimidates us, and it makes us hesitant from stepping through and taking that next step. So they look at that and they check that out. Another thing that they begin to look at is they look at the vegetation. They look at the trees and the crops and what's producing. They look at the soil, what's happening. And I think this has to do with future potential. So they check out kind of the current situation, but they also want to know, like, what are we going to eat? Like, where are we going to get provision? Like, are we going to be able to plant and grow crops and the food that we need? How, God, are you going to provide in the future? Which leads us to ask the same normal questions as we're going through what we're going through. God, you're greater than whatever I'm facing, but how are you going to show up in the midst of this, God? Can I really trust you with this next step? And we look at the future, and I think sometimes if we're not careful, when we look at the future, we make a short-term decision without considering the long-term implications. And when you make a short-term decision without considering the long-term implications, we always set ourselves up for frustration and fear and worry. God is greater than whatever we're facing. He calls us to do our research and to look at what's around us. But in the midst of that, we keep our faith. And even if what we see looks challenging, he's calling us to obey. We walk in that. But here's the other thing that they look at, is they look at the people. They check out the people who are already living there. How strong are they? How capable are they? What kind of opposition are we going to face in the midst of that? Because God wants them to be prepared. He doesn't want them walking blind into this. He wants them to know enough about what's happening so they can trust more in him. Maybe even see how they can't make this work and how God's going to have to make it work. So God shows them. He gives them this glimpse of the people who are there. And they see it, and they're really intimidated by the people that they see, as we'll see as we move on in the story. But here's the thing that I want you to consider. And this is maybe an exercise for you to think about, because not everyone in your life is going to be on board with whatever it is that God calls you to do. As you're going through what you're going through, sometimes one of the worst things we can do is get too many opinions. And then that begins to drown out the fact that God is greater than whatever we're facing. And so let me give you, if you want to kind of chart this down, this is a great thing to do whenever you don't have something to do, to do inventory. If you're going through something right now, if you guys want to go ahead and switch over on my computer screen, this is a great thing for you to work through if you want to do this. I call this gainers, drainers, truth sayers, and naysayers, okay? So if you want to chart it, it'll look something, well, once I turn my pen on, it'll do it. Okay, so it looks something like this. If you just want to kind of do a diagram like this, and you have gainers, you have truth sayers, you have drainers, and you have naysayers. Now what you want to do is in each of these quadrants, you want to do an inventory of the people that are in your life. You want to think about, who are the people in my life? This G represents the gainers. Who are the people in my life that when I'm around them, I gain faith? It's like God works through them. They build me up. They encourage me. If you don't have people in this quadrant of your life, you're going to struggle to get through what you're going through. The gainers are important. The D represents the drainers. Those are people that when you're trying to get through what you're going through, all they want to tell you is how they're stuck in what they're going through, and they don't think they're ever going to get out of it. And it's like, my situation's already bad enough. I don't need to hear about how you're hopeless in yours. Like, thanks. You get too many drainers, you'll never get out of what you're going through. And then there's truth sayers, and those are the people that will speak the truth to you. And sometimes, though, maybe they're not like the most eloquent with their words. Maybe they lose kind of the grace side of speaking the truth. But hey, at least they tell you the truth, right? They love you enough to speak the truth. And so you got to have at least a few people in your life that'll speak the truth to you, even if they don't always do it the right way. Sometimes you just have to eat the meat, throw away the bones. That's my motto. I'll eat the meat, throw away the bones. But then there's naysayers. Those are people that are just always going to be down on you. They're going to be doubting what God can do in you. They're going to be maybe even doubting God himself. Here's what you got to look for. When you're trying to get through what you're going through, you can look out, and this is what the people did. All they saw, I think, were probably the people that were going to drain them, that were going to zap them, that were maybe even literally going to destroy them and tell them their God couldn't do it. All they saw is what was represented over here. But here's what you and I have to look for. There is a sweet spot in here, and it's right here where maybe there's some overlap between your people who are gainers and truth tellers. People who have the heart of God, the Spirit of God, and they build you up, but they'll also speak the truth into your life. You need some of those people. But there's notice the size of the circles. You're probably going to find a whole lot more people who are on the right side of this diagram than you are on that left. So there are few and far in between. And when you find them, you thank God for them, and you listen to those people. Because God speaks truth and he speaks wisdom. You guys can go ahead and switch back over on my laptop. Because God wants you to get through whatever it is that you're going through. He wants you to walk through that. Because God is greater than whatever you're facing. So let's continue on with the story and kind of begin to wrap this up a little bit. We skip down to verse 25. So God said, I'm giving you this land. And he said, I want you to go spy it out, check it out. They see what they see. And then here we go in verse 25. It says, at the end of 40 days, they returned from spying out the land, and they came to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the people, and they brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told them, we came to the land which you sent us. It flows with milk and honey. I don't know what kind of milk. I don't know if it's almond milk, 2% full. I don't know. It's just milk and honey. And this is its fruit. However, the people who dwell in the land are strong, and the cities are fortified and very large. And besides, we saw the descendants of Anak there, and the Amalekites, and dwell in the land of the Negev, the Hittites, and the Jebusites, and the Amorites. They all dwell in the hill country, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the Jordan. But Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and occupy it, for we are well able to overcome it. Then the man who had gone up with them said, we're not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we are. They forgot that their God is greater than whatever they face. Verse 32 says, So they brought to the people of Israel a bad report of the land that they had spied out, saying, the land through which we've gone out to spy is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people that we saw in it are of great height. And there we saw the Nephilim, the sons of Anak, who come from the Nephilim. And we seemed to ourselves like grasshoppers, and so we seemed to them. Let me just say this real quick. God is greater than whatever you're facing, but here's the truth. Don't be surprised when doubters show up. Don't be surprised when doubters show up. When they arise, when you're going through whatever it is that you're going through, don't be surprised when they show up and try to pour rain on whatever it is that God is giving you confirmation about. Whatever God's leading you to do, as he's calling you through whatever it is that you're going through, there's going to be people who show up and put doubt on that. They're going to be hesitant. Maybe because they lack the faith. Maybe because they see things. We all see things really through one of two perspectives, and the struggle is the intertwining of the two perspectives. One is we see them through a proper God, a God filter, a biblical worldview filter. The other side is our humanistic, fleshly filter. And because we're not perfect, those two get intermixed together. Sometimes it's hard to know which filter we're seeing things with. That's why we need people in our life. That's why we need the Holy Spirit. That's why we need to know what God has already said, so that we can be convinced that he's greater than whatever we're facing. And in the midst of this, people's hesitancies, if we're not careful, somebody else's hesitancies and fears that you didn't even previously have, if you don't watch, they will become your hesitancies and your fears that keep you from going where God wants you to go. And you'll find yourself stuck and stagnant because you're hesitant and you're fearful rather than trusting in the God who is greater. On the flip side of that, we have to be careful. Maybe it's not us that's going through something, but it's somebody else. We have to be very careful to make sure that we're not the ones that's creating unhealthy hesitancy and fear in someone else. Very quickly, gossip or your perspective on a situation can be the one that clouds someone's judgment. So before we give advice and walk through something with people, we first need to be submitted ourselves to God to make sure we're in tune with Him so that we're not speaking out of our filter, but we're letting God lead us into that. Don't be surprised when doubters arise. But here's the thing. We continue on in the story, and it kind of wraps up with this. We know that God's greater than whatever we're facing, and the people had kind of forgotten that. A couple of them who went out, Joshua and Caleb, they were not intimidated by what they saw. We've already heard Caleb speak about this. We skip over to chapter 14, verse 1. It says, "And all the congregation raised a loud cry, and the people wept that night. And all the people of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The whole congregation said to them, 'Would that we had died in the land of Egypt, or that we had died in this wilderness. Why is the Lord bringing us into this land to fall by the sword?'" They've lost all hope. They've completely forgotten how great their God is. They said, "Our wives and our little ones will become a prey. Would it not be better for us to go back to Egypt?" Remember that they said that last week too. "And they said to one another, 'Let us choose a leader and go back to Egypt.' Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the people of Israel. Joshua and Caleb, who were among those who spied out in the land, they tore their clothes as a sign of just humbling themselves before God. And they said to all the congregation of the people of Israel, 'The land which we passed through to spy it out is exceedingly good land. And if the Lord delights in us, He will bring us into this land and give it to us.'" Confidence. Do you hear that in His voice? He said, "It's a land that flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord. Do not fear the people of the land." I would say to you this morning, don't fear. If God gives you a glimpse of where you're headed, whether it's unknown things or doubters that speak into you, don't fear those. Don't listen to those more than the Spirit of God that's speaking into your life. He goes on and he says, "Their protection is removed from them. And the Lord, He's with us. Do not fear them." Then all the congregation said to stone them with stones. But the glory of the Lord appeared at the tent of meeting to all people of Israel. I'll say this. God is greater than whatever you're facing. As you go through what you're going through, someone, maybe that's you, someone is going to have to believe in what other people can't. Somebody's going to have to believe in it. So maybe that's you this morning. Maybe everybody around you is thrown in the towel. Maybe your spouse is saying, "I'm done, I quit, I give up." Maybe your kids are throwing in the towel and trying to reconcile the relationship. Maybe you look at your neighbors or your coworkers and you think it's hopeless. Everybody else says it's hopeless. There's no chance of this person ever coming to know Jesus. Somebody has to believe when nobody else is believing. Who's that going to be? My challenge to you this morning as you're going through whatever it is that you're going through is to trust in the God who's always faithful, to believe that God is greater than whatever it is you're facing. And as you're going through what it is that you're going through, be the one that rises up and says, "My God, if He is for us, there is nothing that's going to stop us." Church, we need people within this church. You need to be that person in your family. We need it for this community. If we're going to see God truly come alive in the years ahead, somebody's going to have to believe that God can do it. Somebody's going to have to believe that God is greater than whatever it is that you're facing, that we're facing, that someone else is facing. Because when we stop believing, we stop seeking, we stop getting to know Him, we find ourselves in position. We skip on down to verse 20. After them praying and pouring their heart out before God, it says, "Then the Lord said to them, 'I've pardoned according to your word.' So Moses begs for God's forgiveness as the people are rebelling. But God says, 'But truly as I live and as all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord, none of the men who have seen my glory and my signs that I did in Egypt and in the wilderness and yet have put me to the test these 10 times and still have not obeyed my voice, none of these people shall see the land that I swore to give to their fathers. And none of those who despise me shall see it. But my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit, and has followed me fully, I will bring into the land to which he went, and his descendants shall possess it.'" So many people around us are going to settle for where they are, for staying trapped and stuck in whatever it is that they're going through. They're going to settle for the mediocrity. They're going to choose the wilderness over the provisions that God has for them. I don't know what that means for you this morning, but here's what I do know. God's heart is not for you to die out in the wilderness, to be swallowed up by the quicksand of life that you're falling into. That is not God's intention. He is greater than whatever it is that you're facing. He wants to speak right in your heart and remind you that you have nothing to fear when he's with you. If you would bow your heads, let's take just a moment just to pray together, and we'll end out our time together. I just wonder, as the team is coming up, just begin to ask God, how is it that I need to trust that you're greater? How is it that I need to trust that you're greater? Guys, just begin to ask God. Speak to me, God. What is it about your character? What is it about you? Take the eyes off yourself. Take eyes off of everything that's going on around you. Take your eyes off whatever it is that you're going through. Just begin to ask God, what is it about you, God, that I need to see this morning that I'm not clearly seeing? Ask God to lead you into that. And trust him. Believe that you have nothing to fear.